And take your Bibles, if you would please, to 2 Corinthians and chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The faith promise card is what we're talking about. And we'll review in just a moment. Maybe I'll do that right now. Remember, last night I was saying that Paul was addressing as a past pastor of the Corinthian church. He's addressing his people and a little disappointed. I think perhaps he had taught them how to tithe. He had taught them the importance of that. He had taught them how to sacrifice in their giving. But when it came to grace giving or faith promise giving, he'd been disappointed a little bit as a pastor. In 2 Corinthians 8, 2 Corinthians 9 are set apart here in 2 Corinthians to really give us instruction about this matter of what this little card is all about, the faith promise card. And I think it's well for us, good for us to know what the Bible teaches about this kind of thing. And remember, in the first few verses here, first five verses, Paul says to his congregation, to this congregation of the Corinthians, he said, I want to hold up the churches of Macedonia to you. I want you to know about the churches of Macedonia and the grace of God that was bestowed upon them in such a wonderful way. And he began by giving them and showing them the priorities of their giving. Remember last night we talked about the fact that they were gave a priority in the fact that though they had great affliction, things came into their lives, bad news. Things were upside down. I don't know exactly what it was, but things were upside down. Afflictions are not good things that you and I usually pray for. Lord, please afflict me. Now, that was something that was probably something not wanting, desiring to come in their lives, but God allowed that and said in spite of that, they were faithful. The Macedonian churches were faithful and kept a priority of their faith promise in spite of that. That's good. The application, obviously, is in your life in the next 12 months. Things come up. Keep faithful to your faith promise. And then the second thing is their priority in great deep poverty. Deep poverty. Maybe a financial reversal could happen today. The job security, it might happen tomorrow, by the way. Will we have ladies here tomorrow? Will ladies be here, preacher? Ladies are going on strike tomorrow. Did you hear about that in the news? I'm not going to tell you, ladies, if you don't know about it. They're canceling school all over Washington, D.C. because lady teachers aren't coming in. It's the ladies. They're celebrating ladies. Doesn't have anything to do with Donald Trump, praise the Lord, for a change. You know, but all ladies are having a holiday tomorrow. You didn't hear about that. Well, it's a good thing you came tonight. You're hearing CBC News. All right. At any rate, financial reversals, job security, these kinds of things that take place even in our lives today, relevantly. And they said, the Church of Macedonia, Paul said, kept their priorities straight, and they did not fall short on their faith promise. The other thing that we saw was that in their procedures that they gave according to their own power. They gave according to their own power. They could see things, they could see what was coming in, what was going out, and said, here's what we can do as far as our commitments in the Church of Macedonia. But then they didn't stop there. They gave beyond their own power. And that's the exciting thing. Boy, I hope that you will get excited. Those of you that have given the faith promise for years and years, I know that you have, like I do, testimonies of how God has provided. Let me just share one with you, one or two with you. One is, in fact, is at 65, we began living on a fixed income of Social Security, basically. And if you're in that arena, you know what I'm talking about. And yet, that doesn't mean that you stop giving to faith promise. And we have to trust the Lord to bring in sources that test our faith. And preacher, you can relate to this. Some of you guys can relate to this that do funerals. We live in a little cow town outside of Palm Springs, California called Beaumont. And the mortuary down there heard that I was in town sometimes. And he gave me a call and said, hey, could you do a funeral? A lady from Oklahoma is here. Her mother lives in Beaumont. She doesn't go to church, but she was a Baptist, and he's looking for a Baptist pastor. We can't find a Baptist pastor. Could you do the funeral? I looked at my calendar and said, well, yeah, I could. And I'm kind of thinking under my breath, well, praise the Lord, you know, this will be a little $50 or something that'll help out for my faith promise. He said, we also need an organist or pianist. Do you have anybody like that? I said, honey, can you, play for the funeral? She said, yes. Well, he was good to go, you know, and so we got ready for that and put the funeral together, and Joe was playing the piano, after the service, man handed me a check and an envelope, and the mortician handed my wife a check. Now, this is a good thing. She opened her check, and it was $300 for playing music for that. I opened mine, it was $100. So something wrong with this, but praise the Lord. But I was saying that to my heart, you know, praise the Lord, because what we were saying is, that was my faith promise. That's how God works. You know, that's how God works. That's how amazing God is. I didn't know that was God. Faith promise is giving beyond your power. It's allowing God to look down, and you're serious about this faith promise. And when you move to that second level of giving beyond your power, you're saying, this year, I don't know how God's going to work. I don't know if it'll be overtime. I don't know if Uncle John, my rich uncle, is going to die and leave me a couple $1,000s in his will. I don't know, if it's going to be a bonus. I don't know if it's going to be an IRS refund. I don't know. But whatever God gives me, we're going to put down a figure here and just trust God to bring it in. Now, this is, I'm not just playing around. Now, that generates excitement within a church. I'm telling you, when testimony time comes around, you say, woo-hoo! Boy, this is what God did for faith promises last week. We had no idea, and this money came in. That is giving beyond your power. See, God says, all right, I can trust you. I'm going to give you this, and you're not just going to pocket it, and you're not just going to spend it on yourself. You're going to give it to world evangelization. There's a God in heaven that loves this world and has a heart for reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he looks at you as a vessel. He looks at me as a channel and says, here's what I'm going to do. You can't even see it, but I'm able to give you money and resources that you have no idea about. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth of every mine. Our God's not broke. I guarantee it. He has things to give you. And young people, the same thing for you guys. Everyone here can get in on this if you want to. So the procedure of the Macedonian churches was to give according to their power and beyond their power. And the pattern was the fact that they first of all gave their hearts to the Lord. And that corrects everything right here. And everything is on even ground in this auditorium. If we'll just give our hearts to the Lord, you don't have to be convinced or have your arm put into a hammerlock and be coerced into something here. And we'll see a little bit about that this evening. If you're able, let's stand in reverence to God's Word. As we look at 2 Corinthians, that brings us up to verse number 8. Excuse me. Verse number 7. And let's just read down to verse number 10. All right? Beginning there. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. And let's pray together. Our Lord, we love you tonight and thank you so much for loving us. As we approach these verses, please, Lord, open our eyes, open our ears. Though we've heard many of these things and read these things before, even for some of us who are very familiar with these, I pray that it would be somehow fresh. Spirit of God, speak to us. And help us to see how vital and how important a process and thing that this is that we are talking about tonight in the precious area of giving by faith promise or giving by grace. Thank you, Lord, for these folks that are here tonight. By their very presence, showing their interest in the things that are going on. Thank you, Lord. Bless them because of their efforts to be here, even this night. And may God be glorified as we see on the screen these numbers just continually, night by night, increasing. May tomorrow night be a great night of climax as well. Guide and speak to your people tonight, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I want you to think with me tonight about, as we talked last night about the priorities and the procedures, the pattern, I want you to notice tonight the example of the Macedonians for a moment or two, beginning at verse number 7, where the Bible says that therefore as you abound in everything, here's Paul complimenting his church that he's a little bit disappointed in. But look at the compliments that he pays to Corinth. Things were not all bad. For he says here, you abound in everything in faith. He compliments his old congregation, the fact that their faith was something to commend. I want you to notice as you continue in that verse, and in utterance, they're speaking. Maybe he's talking about their witnessing. Maybe he's talking about their ability to proclaim the Word of God. And he says, hey, I want to just commend you. You're doing a great job there. And then he continues on. He says, in your knowledge. He says, they were gaining information. I want to commend you on that. And he commends them in their diligence. Well, they just had stick-to-itiveness. No, they did not in this particular area that we're talking about tonight. And then he says, even in your love to us. Well, you just have demonstrated your love to us, and I'm not doubting your love that you love me. But he says, see that you abound in, let me hold it up again, see that you abound in this grace also. This grace. Be abounding. Here's another area that you can shore up in your Christian life. Notice as your Bibles are open there to chapter 8, the word grace is given to us in verse number 1. He talks, we do you to know of the grace of God. Look at verse number 6, that Titus would finish in you the same grace also. And then this verse that we just read, abound in this grace also. And then verse number 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he is rich, yet for your sake became poor. You get the idea that we are talking about the grace of God. How did you learn the grace of God? What do you define the grace of God tonight? Is God's unmerited favor? Some of you learned it that way. Maybe the acronym of God's riches at Christ's expense. God giving to us what we don't deserve. And this is God allowing us to do something that we really didn't earn or didn't really deserve, but we get to be involved. This is not something that is bound upon us as a burden. This is something that can be exciting and be a blessing. And I hope you have that attitude tonight. It's a positive thing that God is talking about and that we move from this. Now, when we talked last night about one principle of giving, that was the giving by tithe. Is that something that's commanded us to do? Yes. God commands the tithe. There's a lot of things in the Bible that God commands. Pray without ceasing. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we could go on a lot more than 10 commandments. But this is a grace. This is something that is different. So I want you to see with me an example of this is something that was an example of proof. An example of proof. The Macedonians were an example of proof when it came to this faith promise or grace giving. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 8. I speak not by commandment. Could you say that with me together? 1, 2, 3. I speak not by commandment. To tithe, commanded. To give this right here, faith promise, is not commanded. I don't speak to you, he says to the congregation, by commandment. But look as you continue on. But by the occasion of the forwardness of others, and to what? To prove the sincerity of your love. This, my friends, is a proof of the sincerity of your love to Jesus Christ. You can sit here in a church service and sing it all over and again as Chad comes up and says, let's all sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. And we ought to love Jesus, but the Bible says that God looks down upon us and says, you really do love me? Then why don't you prove it by participating in faith promise? This is not a commandment. This is a proof of your love. Somebody said it this way, if we're contrasting tithes and faith promise. Really, if you write out a tenth of your income, you're really not giving. You're just transferring what already belongs to God. When you get involved in this, it's not by commandment. It's a proof of your love. If I told you men to go home tomorrow and tonight maybe and buy a dozen of roses and give it to your wife tomorrow, and she says, why are you doing this? It's not our anniversary. It's not my birthday. Why are you doing this? And you would say, if you're wise enough, because I love you. Because I love you. Love is action. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love, showed His love toward us, in that while you were yet, and I were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus, what's the most important command? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, all your strength. That's the most important command that God has given to us. And He said, the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Let's put this in the context of world evangelism tonight. To love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Say, well, I love God. He says, then prove it. Love your neighbor as yourself. How much do you love the people in Scotland? How much do you love the people in Ecuador? How much do you love the people in China? How much do you love the people in Nepal? How much do you love the people in Israel? How much do you love the people in these various areas that are represented tonight and throughout your missions program? How much do you love the world? He says, prove it. The Macedonians, folks, were an example, a proof that they loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Corinthians, I want you to get a hold of this. Every time you write out a faith promise, it's proving that you love the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice something else here as an example of participation. An example of participation. Just go down to verse number 14. But by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply to their want, that their abundance also may be a supply to your want, for there may, that there may be an equality, that there may be equality. Look over and jump over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 7. Look at the first two words there. Every man, every person, generically speaking, every person according as he purposeth in his heart, let him give. Every single person, God says, the Macedonians were to equally be responsible. In other words, I'd like to tell you something like this. Everybody here ought to be able to do something. Brother Damascus, you mentioned 50 cents as you began. And Pastor, you mentioned tonight, well, parents, get a hold of this. You are doing not only yourself a favor, you're doing your children a favor by raising them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I believe part of raising your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord is teaching them how to be good stewards and how to give to the Lord. And no matter how little you're sitting here tonight, no matter how little you can do, little is much when God is in it. Little is much when God is in it. If the little is much, but everybody can do something. You say, why would? Because it's a proof of your love. Who doesn't want to say, Lord, I do love you. I do want to prove my love to you. I want to show my love to you. Just like you showed your love to me. And that's what you see here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. That's the gospel. That's Jesus coming down to this world and dying on the cross. And I say to us tonight, how poor are we willing to become for the cause of our love for Jesus Christ and proof that we love him? How poor? And somebody says, I can't afford it. What can you want to give? What do you want to sacrifice to be a part of showing your love to him? So the Bible says, as far as participation, there was a proportion here, and it was equal involvement. Everybody can do something. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every single person at Community Baptist Baptist Church got involved and said, I want to do something. Just everybody, no matter how large or how small, everybody. I want to be up on that graph somewhere anonymously. That's the challenge tonight. Will you take the challenge? Will you take the challenge? I would say something else about this as well. There ought to be equal sacrifice. Some of you can do more. Others of you can do less. You don't expect a child to do as much as an adult with a job and income and so on. There's no comparison. But equal giving, equal participation, and equal sacrifice. That is God's plan. Let me close with this. The example of a promise. Will you just stay over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9? If your Bible's like mine, it's on the same page. Look at verse number 6. This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. We're given some principles, some laws here. God says you can give, and you can give sparingly. You can give just a little. But the Bible says if you give sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. Okay? There's some other things there. As your Bibles are open, you can just drop down a line or two. It said, You can give out of necessity. You can give grudgingly. Well, the pressure's on. No, there's no pressure. This is not a commandment. But you can give. You can be tempted to give grudgingly in necessity. I better give something. Do my part. God says, no, don't give that way. Don't give that way. Give sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. He says you can give bountifully. And if you give bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. Now let me have you raise your hands if you want to. I'm going to ask a question. How many of you want God to bless you? We go around and say, God bless you. And over here in, I guess, Virginia and down the south, they say, bless your hearts. Hear about the little boy that went to the doctor, and the doctor took his shirt off and put the stethoscope on his chest, and the cold chest. The little boy said, what are you doing? Never been to the doctor before. He says, I'm going to check your heart. He says, that's not where my heart is. He says, well, where's your heart? He says, back here. He says, who told you that? He says, my pawpaw. He says, every time he sees me, he gives me a big hug and pats me on the back and says, bless your heart. Your heart. But the fact is, how to get off on that one. But the truth is, many of us want God to bless us. And you'd be crazy if you didn't want God's blessing upon you. Watch this. Look this way. Then why would you take a little teaspoon when it comes to the amounts of faith promise giving on this card? Why would you want to take a little teaspoon and sow with a little teaspoon to reap a little teaspoon of God's blessing? You see, so many of us in our churches today, we plow or we sow with a little teaspoon, but we want the buckets of God's blessing upon our lives. That's not the way it operates. God said, if you will sow with a shovel, you'll get blessings with a shovel. Some of us need to be challenged tonight to throw away the teaspoon and get a shovel when it comes to the faith promise card. So he's talking about how we could give sparingly if you want to, grudgingly of necessity. No, don't do that. Give bountifully, give cheerfully. And now I want you to see something in verse number 9 as I close here. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Boy, if I just zeroed in on those two words tonight, God, or three words, God is able. How can we do this? God is able. Now this, well, I'll share with you and I'll be done. And that is found, oh, go back over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And look at this, just one phrase, we leave this thought. And herein, Paul says, I give my advice, for this is expedient for you. For this is expedient for you. Let me give you an illustration, I'll close. This is expedient. That means this is good. If you get in on this, kids, guys, if you get in on this, adults, this is good for you. Now, you can take God's word on it or not. If you don't want to, don't. But God says, this is expedient for you. I'm going to make a statement here. I believe that God will bless you. I believe God will bless you. I'm not saying God will make you rich, but I'm saying God will bless you if you'll get involved in a great way in faith promise. Good amen would be good encouraging to right now. And God will bless Community Baptist Church or any church that keeps missions as the main thing. I believe that. I've always believed that as a pastor. God will bless my church if I'll just make missions the mission of the church. And God's blessed us. Now, let me tell you this illustration. I pastored for the last 15 years in Long Beach, California. Now, there's a big, Long Beach is 700,000 people. It's right adjacent to Los Angeles. But also sandwiched in there are places that some of you might recognize, like Watts, Compton. Does that ring a bell with some of you? The Watts riots back in the 60s, O.J. Simpson and Rodney King and all that sort of thing, burning of buildings and stuff. That's North Long Beach, and that's where I'm from. Not from down on the beach. I was in North Long Beach, right next to Watson. And we're the source, we're the Bloods and the Crips, if you know anything about gangs. Blood and Crips come out of North Long Beach and Watts, right out of my hometown. We had four blocks of our church. And around our blocks of property, parking lots and all that, and the buildings were white brick fences. I painted them white. I had a graffiti crew. That graffiti crew every day would come in and erase all the graffiti that would come from the gangs and establishing their territories every single day. Every single day. Had watchmen out in the parking lot so they wouldn't steal our cars. I'm talking about North Long Beach. That's where our church was. I'm talking about blue-collar church, not a rich church. I'm talking about a church that I went to in 1995. And we had three missionaries that we were supporting. And they were not being supported. They were on the rolls, but they were not being supported because they didn't have any money. The finances were in arrears. We went to Faith Promise. We went to this program believing that this is expedient for us, that this is the right thing to do, that God will bless you, God will bless a church that does that. And I want to tell you, before I left there, we had 140 missionaries. Some were paid anywhere from $100 a month to $500 a month. In 15 years, to God be the glory. I'm talking about a church that didn't have any more than five people that had white-collar jobs, most of them blue-collar. Believe me, this is expedient for you as a church. God will bless you. And I wish I had more time to tell you about the finance lady that came in to me one day and said, Pastor, here's something you got to know. I just got this check, and it's anonymous, and I can't tell you who it is. It's $50,000. I don't know to this day who gave $50,000, and it was earmarked for missions. The short of that story is we, at that time, that was a tsunami. Remember the tsunami? And Burma, Myanmar, and all that sort of thing, all the refugees going up into Thailand, we decided to invest $50,000 into resurrecting Adoniram Judson's translation of the Bible, whatever congregations were there, you couldn't get them in across the line. You had to smuggle Bibles in. You remember being in Kalispell, up in Montana, there. The very guy that smuggled those Bibles across the line, putting his life on the line to get those into congregations, they had one Bible per congregation, small congregations. They would just trade that Bible. You had it this week, then you gave it to him. Pages missing. And when those Bibles got across, some people stayed up all night just sleeping with their Bibles. Some read their Bible just all night long, didn't go to sleep. They loved the Word of God. They didn't have Bibles. And I'm told, and this is short of it, I'm told, and we're on now 10 container loads of Bibles going into Miramar. It's all because of Gethsemane Baptist Church in North Long Beach. And they're having what we call a revival in Burma, Miramar. And it's our church that was the one that God used to get those Bibles in it. Do you hear what I'm saying tonight? Listen, folks, this is not play games. God says He will bless you. This is expedient for you. Ah, folks, when you go home tonight and you're thinking about tomorrow and tomorrow night and the opportunity to bring this conference to a climax, realize that this is not a commandment. This is something that's a proof of your love to Jesus Christ. And realize that every man, every person, as he purposes in his heart, let him give bountifully that he will reap bountifully. And please listen tonight. This is expedient for you.